97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Joining us now, White House correspondent for the Washington Times, Jeff Murdoch. Thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
So you're in that White House room. Is it tense? Sometimes we see the videos, and I'm just curious, what's the atmosphere like being in there lately?
The atmosphere, I wouldn't call it tense. There's been some moments. There almost seems to be a sort of a last day of school feeling that, you know, this administration is counting down the days until they don't have to deal with us anymore. And you see that. Their number of guests in the White House briefing room have increased. The time it takes for them to answer our questions in there isn't what it used to be. There's more. We've had more guests lately. It just seems like everybody's just wanting to move on to whichever administration is the next administration.
Do you think that any journalist in that room, they're satisfied with the answers they're getting, or is pretty much everyone getting non-answers?
Well, everybody's pretty much getting non-answers. That's been a consistent problem, and that's not anything that has changed since President Biden dropped out of the race. They've consistently avoided our questions. And a great example of this is today, the White House Correspondents Association, which rarely will criticize any administration, or this administration, I should say, will rarely criticize this administration, came out. The president is having the Quad meeting in Wilmington, Delaware. He's having these world leaders at his house. Do you know that they have banned the press from being in his house? So there's no press reporting on what's happening at these meetings. As of this afternoon, the only thing that the press is allowed to do is watch these world leaders pull up to the driveway at Biden's house in Delaware.
Let me ask this. I mean, how long have you been covering the White House?
3 years.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe you would know this or probably not if you haven't experienced it yourself. But let's say going back to the Trump administration at Mar-a-Lago, I think press were allowed in there, weren't they? I mean, they were encouraged to come in and witness when there was a host of a world leader.
That's correct. They wanted it on the record. I mean, there's some moments of history here that's not going to be captured, and we're just going to have to rely on what the White House says so unless they change their view and change their attitude. And what's interesting is the WHCA is loath to criticize this administration. Today's rebuke is the second time in a couple of months they've done that. I don't know if you remember back in June when President Biden was still in the race, he was complaining that reporters were asking questions that diverged from agreed upon topics. He was giving a speech on the economy. Somebody would ask him an abortion question. He snapped at a couple of reporters for doing that. And when that happened, they issued a warning to, or not a warning, but they issued a scolding, I'll say, to him for doing that. But you don't see it that often, given this administration's disdain for the press. And it's interesting to me because all they do is talk about how much they have the freedom of press. They like to tout, for example, that they have, you know, briefings every day. The Trump administration didn't have briefings every day. But but they don't say anything in those briefings. You know, Karine doesn't go beyond the third row when it comes to calling on people for a lot of these briefings. We have guests come in to eat up time. So it's a lot of lip service, but they're really not doing any more they're doing less in press access than the Trump administration.
Yeah, I remember, and stop me if I'm getting this one wrong, wasn't it the Nixon administration that actually stopped doing these and they eventually kicked them out of the White House? They were doing them across the street or something. And you see this sort of disdain in other presidents and the way they've handled it. I wanted to point this out, too, the differences between Biden and Trump when it comes to their handling of the press. I remember a time when Donald Trump would show up to these press briefings and he would answer, an hour's worth of questions. I can't recall Joe Biden in 4 years answering a total of, you know, a half hour of questions, if that, in that briefing room. And the other side of it is, I think there was a time when Donald Trump was meeting with Putin, and the criticism was that needs to be on the record because we don't trust you. That's why there needs to be someone there to know what is said. And here we are today hosting world leaders. There's also criticisms that Joe Biden does not log guests that come into his house when they should be logged. But we're having the same issue where they're having these conversations, but the criticism's just not there for the Biden administration. So when you're watching these sort of things, does that play a factor in how you're covering this? You understand that your same colleagues didn't have a problem criticizing Trump, but now they're being quiet when it comes to the criticisms of Joe Biden?
Well, it's true. There's definitely hypocrisy there. And one of the things that's worth pointing out is that one of the reasons why the Trump administration did not do as many press conferences, or press briefings, I mean, is because when President Trump met with the media, he would take their questions. I mean, he would sit there and take their questions for a long time. President Biden doesn't do that. These are carefully scripted events. They rush him in and out. One of the things I find really interesting is he takes more questions now than he did when he was still in the race. Mm-hmm. There's way more press gaggles, which still doesn't really make up for it, than he was when he was in the race. And I think that's really interesting. But yeah, the White House, the Trump administration did not need to do these briefings because the president was out there answering these questions. And that's why the Biden administration is doing it. It's a substitute for him talking to us.
Okay, so this is going to sound kind of like a cheap shot, but I'm just curious because, you know, you're in the room. And I'm going to ask this one question as a precursor to the second question. How is your hearing? Do you have good hearing?
Yes, I have very good hearing.
Okay. Have you ever heard Joe Biden at a time speak and you can't understand what he's saying? Because there's a lot of times he's criticized where he mumbles or doesn't answer correct or straightforward, and there's people trying to guess what he's trying to get out. Do you have that issue in person?
Yes, I do. There's times where he's talked low. There's other times where they put him, and I'll give you an example, where they put him in situations that make it difficult for you to hear. Now, I don't know if that's I doubt that's intentional. I'm sure it's just poorly thought out. But I'll give you an example. Is I was traveling with the president to with the other reporters. We traveled with him to San Francisco earlier this year, and he met with the widow of the Putin critic who died, and they wanted to have him come and talk to us about the meeting and what happened. We're all staying in this nice hotel in San Francisco. For whatever reason, they decided to do this in the basement of the parking garage. And you can hear, as the president's trying to talk, wheels screech above. And you can find this on YouTube. I mean, it's not. You hear wheels screeching above you. You hear people honking at each other. We heard a driver curse out another driver because they cut him off. And this is while he's trying to. I don't know who's decision it was to do that, but that happens a lot where he's trying to talk to us and you have Marine One's blades whirling behind you or the motor of Air Force One, and it makes it even harder for him to hear because he talks lower, and then you have these sounds, these very loud sounds competing with him. I don't know if you ever read pull reports, but the pull reports are from the reporters who were traveling with the president. They send out what their interactions were. You know, we asked the president this, he said that, or president didn't take questions. And there's so many pull reports now where you can't really use them because it's president said we need to inaudible, then we need to inaudible, or flat out, we just didn't hear what the president said.
Yeah. Can I play a clip from you from one of the White House press briefings and get your reaction to...
Sure.
Okay, so this is clip number 17, Fox News with Ducey. This is a follow-up question from him. Let's play that real quick if we could.
There are mentally unstable people who are attempting to kill political candidates, attempting to kill Donald Trump, and they are still hearing this White House refer to him as a threat. Is there no concern that people are taking that literally?
We're using examples. We're not just saying that just to say it. January 6th, Peter. January 6th. Wait, January 6th? How many times do we have to... January 6th, 2021. That is a fact. I know your focus has to be on this side of the house. It can't be on your side of the house. I get that. But we also have to be careful on how you're asking me these questions.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to ask you. First, were you in the room for that one?
Yes, I was.
Okay. As a journalist, you're watching this go down. What's going through your mind?
Well, my first thought was that she kept saying examples, but she only had one. Mm-hmm. You know, she kept saying, we've got all these examples. And then she just keeps repeating January 6th. The other thing is that she's indignant over the fact that she's being asked this question, which happens quite a bit, that they really don't like certain questions. And they get very indignant when you ask or you challenge them on certain things. And this is an example of that, that instead of asking the question or coming back with an intelligent response, she just gets indignant about it.
Yeah. Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. And I look at this, too, in some of these different interactions we've seen. There was a point, I think, during the Trump administration where it was entertaining. You'd watch this and you would see the president of the United States spar with members of the journalist pool that was there. You looked at it and you said it's almost entertaining. And today you look at it as something else. You almost look at it as going through the motions where nothing is ever accomplished with it. And you get this feeling that this administration is so separated from the American people, when you got this feeling that, at least previously speaking, there was one that wanted to engage at any given opportunity with the American people. So as you see this, is that a fair assessment? You're basically covering an administration that wants to separate itself from the American people as much as possible?
Well, yes, because and we're starting to see this now with the Harris campaign as well. You're 100% right, but look how walled off she is from the press. One of the things that fascinated me is her longest interview so far was with the National Association of Black Journalists. One of the questions they asked her is, why is joy important to you? Mm-hmm. These are the kind of interviews she's picking. These are the kind of interviews she's doing. And we're not learning anything from any of that. And I understand that's the point, but yeah, the American people lose something with that.
I mean, have you thought about it? This is, you know, people have their shower thoughts where they like go through conversations and arguments in their head, like when they're alone in the shower or something like that. But have you considered, if you had to sit down with Vice President Kamala Harris, what you would ask her? And if you have, what would you ask her?
Well, the first thing I would ask her is, I want more information, you know, about her changes on policies, her change in we haven't gotten an adequate example why suddenly she's for fracking. We haven't gotten an adequate example over her flip flop on decriminalization of illegal immigrants. My values haven't changed is not an answer to that question. And when people ask that question, she spouts out her my values haven't changed, and nobody ever follows up. But we need to know what is the rationale, because there is the rationale. She's running for office, and she knows these policies are unpopular. And she's got to be pressed on that.
Yeah, I think the rationale with fracking is Pennsylvania is the answer for that one.
Exactly, but we need something – exactly, but – and she's not going to admit that, but at the same time, there's a better answer than my values have changed, because my values haven't changed, but this is stuff you valued. So how can you say those two? It's a follow-up nobody's asked.
Right. It's got to be hard for you. You know, this is your job, and it's a bunch of non-answers in a row over and over and over. It's got to make your job hard, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you one way it makes it easy is whenever there's news at the briefing, then I always have to write up a bunch of stories about what was said. Since there's no news, then I don't really have to write that much up from it. But no, it is hard because you want to give the American people answers. You owe the American people answers. It's your job to give the American people answers, and you're just stonewalled.
You know, and you have that drive. You want to be able to provide that for people because it's important. And you would think, wow, don't they need that same drive in office to try to do that? But instead, it's not about trying to inform these people, let them know what's going on. It's about, I need to craft a very particular message so I give them this impression. And it's so much different than the truth of what a journalist would put out there in a situation like that. And then you don't give an opportunity to the press to try to press you or give you any pushback. It's so disingenuous. And to me, it would drive me nuts if I was trying to cover this on a day-to-day basis. By the way, if people wanted to look you up online, where can they go?
Well, let me just answer a question. Let me just respond to it real quick. One of the things I find very frustrating about this administration, not only stonewalled in the briefing room, if you go up, there's a thing called upper press where Karine's office is. You go up there trying to ask her a question before the briefing, you're told she does not meet with reporters before the briefing. You go after the briefing, she's perpetually in an after-briefing debrief, so it's a briefing about the briefing. So there's no time to go into her office and talk to her and get the answers you need. Jen Psaki always had her door open. Karine does not, and it's very hard. So you not only are you stonewalled in the briefing, you're stonewalled if you try other methods to get that. People can find me at Washington Times, and then I'm on Twitter at Jeff Mordock, M-O-R-D-O-C-K.
Jeff Mordock, thank you so much for joining us. And I got to say, it's very insightful, the things that you can bring to us here in St. Louis. We don't get to experience this firsthand. Sometimes we only see the clips, the curated clips online. So to get behind the scenes and understand how it goes, I truly enjoy it. And I know a lot of people here enjoy it, too. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.